Well, thank you for being with us this Easter Sunday sunrise service. Taking the risk out of dying. Not long ago, there was a newspaper article, and it was an unusual headline. You know, sometimes headlines kind of, they just kind of take us in. Say, wow. The headline said, test takes risk out of dying. Now, obviously, it was talking about dying hair, because it's spelled different than dying. So it was about dying hair, and an expert was being quoted as saying that before you dye your hair, you should test one of the strands to see how it works. I heard that from my wife, because she's a licensed hairdresser, and I know about that because I've watched her dye people's hair over the years. Now that seems to make good sense to me, but it was the headline which attracted my attention. Test takes risk out of dying. There was another article, too, that kind of intrigued me more. As I enjoy findings and archaeological findings in the Holy Land, and it was a report that archaeologists had uncovered the tomb of the high priest Caiaphas. And it was Caiaphas, if you remember, who provided and presided over the plot to have Jesus arrested, convicted, and crucified. Now, do you know what they found when they opened up his tomb? They found Caiaphas, or I should say they found the decayed bones of a man who instigated the death of Christ. Now, I could not help but be struck by the fact that archaeologists found the high priest's decayed body in a tomb, but nobody had ever found the body of Jesus, and you wonder, why? Well, you and I do know, don't we, why? If we remembered what happened and journey back with us for a moment to that first Easter morning, while it was still dark, through the deserted streets of Jerusalem, three men run along, hurrying to the residence of the high priest Caiaphas in the courtyard. The guard stops them. What do you want? We want to see Caiaphas, and we need to see him now. Impossible. You'll have to wait until dawn. Later, after the sun had risen, Caiaphas meets with these three soldiers and hears the incredible news that the tomb that they were in charge of guarding is empty. Now, Caiaphas at first is puzzled and then angry and then thoughtful, for the men had no explanation. Repeated questioning will not shake their story. No, they had fallen asleep. That's what we'll tell them. We had fallen asleep. There had been some strange stirrings in the garden and an earthquake shaking the ground. We could tell them that, too. The stone was dislodged and the tomb was empty. And so Caiaphas, being the politician that he was, came up with an idea. The scriptures tell us this. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they met with the soldiers and gave them a large sum of money, telling them, "Say that his disciples came during the night and stole him away while you were asleep." What a story. But nothing could have been further from the truth. For while this whole charade was going on, despair and delusions of the disciples were almost complete. Take Simon Peter, for instance. His heart was filled with despair of his own shameful denial of Jesus, and his mind was clouded with disillusionment over the fate of Jesus. You know, the one that they had placed all their hopes in and now dead? All chances are gone. And so Peter says, "Well, I'm going fishing." What else is there to do? Life has to go on, he was thinking. Perhaps they can pick up the pieces where they were dropped, and when Jesus came along and called them from their nets to follow him, perhaps they could just get away. I'm going fishing. Perhaps maybe they could forget. Maybe the sting of the sea wind in their faces, the rough net sliding through their fingers, a tug of the fish could help them forget. Forget that certain face, that voice, that smile. Perhaps they could just start again. Well, the women, too, were dealing with the grief. in the only way they knew how to. They had watched his dead body being lowered from the cross, hastily anointed and placed in the barred tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And so now, on that first Easter morning, they made their way to the tomb. But as they walked to the tomb, they were preoccupied with one problem. Who will roll aside that big stone that we may go in? They did not go to greet a risen Savior, but to complete their duty towards a dead man. The women had no grandiose plan to deceive humanity for centuries to come. They had been there at Calvary. They had seen him die. And now all they wanted to do was complete the final acts of love and respect for their dead leader. Now, we can't blame them for their reaction that Easter morning, can we? You know what they did. They ran for their lives. Time and time again in Scriptures, the announcement of the resurrection is preceded by these words, "Do not be afraid." The angel who greeted the women at the tomb said, "Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. See the place where he lay? He's not here. He has risen. Go and tell the disciples." Mary Magdalene, unable to answer and unable to bear the pain, she was so filled with grief and despair that she could not even run, returns to the garden and meets a man there who asks her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" "Because they have taken my Lord away," she said. And then the voice of the one who holds life and death in his very hands, the one who had forgiven and restored her, makes himself known to her with just one word as he says, "Mary." And just as suddenly as a new day dawns, Mary understood. She knew that life is no brief candle that flickers and goes out, that by the power of God Almighty, Christ has risen and brings with him the promise of everlasting life. That for all who turn to him in faith, that same light of a new day, the light of Easter, will dawn bright and glorious. That's the message of Easter, or as I say, Resurrection Sunday. That's the resurrection of Jesus. A new day dawns for all of us. How many have stood or dreaded standing where those faithful women stood before the dawn of Easter morning? You know, there in the valley of the shadow of death, how many of us has experienced the fear and the dread that is ours when tragedy occurs in our family and sickness comes and calling a loved one or someone near to us and we recognize that they died? It is then when we need to hear the words of the angel, "Do not be afraid, he has risen." You see, that's the message of Easter. It says, stop and listen, stand still long enough in the presence of God to hear God calling your name. That's what Mary did. She stopped. Now, when death trips us up or the grave stands in our way, and certainly not before you reach the empty tomb of Jesus, we need to stop and hear Jesus call your name. Remember the words that we speak at our baptism? "Child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever." Stop and hear God calling you. Hear the words of the gospel writer in Luke, who records the angel saying, "Why do you seek the living God among dead things? Why do you return to the places of death? Why go back to sin and wrongdoing? Why go back to the habits of life that bring pain and heartache to you and all of those around you?" Stop and hear God speak to you today. Hear God call you forth from the places of darkness and death into the light of the resurrection. And let this Easter morning dawn upon you. Let the resurrection fill you with faith and hope and the obedience to the voice of God. Oh, I think that there's only one way to take the risk out of living and dying. And that's to know what you know and what I know. To trust in God and to live out our faith. So the headline this morning should read, Christ takes the risk out of dying. Spelled D-Y-I-N-G. Caiaphas, bones laid in his tomb, and as do those who elevate themselves above Christ. For God is in control, and death is defeated. He is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. So what do we do with all this good news that Christ is alive? Not all of us have been trained or even feel comfortable proclaiming or preaching the gospel to family and friends, so I just want to give you a true story about how easy it is to share the gospel with others. The gift of Easter, the gift that God longs to give to you and me, the promise, the assurance of God's love and care for us, the promise that is Christ is resurrected from the grave, so you and I may experience new life in him. Simple, right? Well, this is a true story. It was at seminary, and we were told by the dean that we should plan a sermon in the chapel for the following day. Now, one of the students had never preached a sermon before, and he was nervous and afraid, and he stayed up all night. But in the morning, he did not have a sermon. As he stood in the pulpit, looking out over his classmates, he said, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" And all of them shook their head. "No." And he said, "Neither do I." He said, "The service is over. Go in peace." Now, the dean wasn't happy. So he got him to the side and he says, "I'm going to give you another chance tomorrow, and you better have a sermon ready." Again, he stayed up all night, and again, he couldn't come up with a sermon. Next morning, he stood there in the pulpit again. He said, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" And all the students nodded their heads. "Yes." "Then there is no reason to tell you," he said. "The service is ended. Go in peace." Now, the dean was angry. He really was. He's disappointed in this old boy. He said, "I'm going to give you one more chance, and if you don't have a sermon tomorrow, you'll be asked to leave the seminary." Again, no sermon came. But he went and stood in the pulpit the next day, as he was asked to do, and he said, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" Half the students nodded their head yes, and the other half shook their head no. The student preacher then announced this: "Those who know, tell those who don't know, the service has ended. Go in peace." Now, the dean was really perplexed. He walked over to the student and he put his arm around his shoulder and he said, "Those who know, tell those who don't know. Today, the gospel has been proclaimed. Go now in peace." Pray you have a wonderful, blessed Easter day. And I hope and pray that you'll join us at the church for the 11 o'clock service, followed by a fellowship dinner. In Jesus' name, amen.